Now, it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We got a guest coming up after our 420 break. We'll be getting in touch with Doug Fine, the Organic Cowboy. We've already got a good question in the chat room. If you've got questions on industrial hemp, get them into the chat room, and I'll ask as soon as we get Doug on the line. Or you can call yourself. The phone line here is open, 971-533-7111. That's 971-533-7111. And hello to all the folks in the chat room. Checking out the chat room right now. And Jackie had a question for me on the chat room. Want to know how my date with Roscoe is. So just to catch up, if you're a new listener, this year, after 15 years of marriage, I've gotten divorced. And it's not pleasant. It never is. I don't think anybody's thrilled by the prospect. But anyway, in the divorce, I've lost my dog, Roscoe. And Roscoe, he's actually right here. He's behind me, sitting on the chair at Rolla J Studios. But I lost Roscoe because, well, you know, it wasn't like we fought over him or anything. But, you know, my life is kind of, you know, I live on the road mostly. So, you know, I just got back from being on the road 34 days straight, as a matter of fact. And that's there's no way, you know, I could care for a dog, you know, give him the care that he needs. And what it had been the situation, you know, when I was married was, you know, I could go out on the road for a week or two and come back. And, you know, of course the dog's taken care of because my wife would be there. Right. So, well, that's just not an option now. So the logical thing to do was to let her have the dog, and, you know, which is good. She needs him too, you know. So anyway, the reality of this is that my ex-wife is she's getting a new job. Actually, not technically ex yet. The papers aren't finalized, but, you know. Anyway, she's getting a job that will move her to Coral Gables, Florida. So, of course, she'll move to Coral Gables and she'll take the dog with her. And so this may be like the last day I get to see my dog. Anyway, we went out yesterday and took a long walk to the dog park, threw the ball around. He's a happy dog, but I also think he's a little stressed out by it. You know, I think there's been so much upheaval. And I've been away for so long that I think this whole situation is just kind of actually stressing him out. So it was more for me than for him, I guess. And tonight he'll go back home and that'll be, I'll probably be the end, probably the last I see him. So, but it's been a remarkable dog because I was never a dog person, you see. Always been a cat person most of my life. Never liked dogs. Had all sorts of complaints about them. And then 10 years ago, I met Roscoe, and it was weird. It was dog love. It was love at first sight, literally. I never had that for a human being, but had that for this dog. And he absolutely converted me into a dog person. It's like I finally communicated with one, right? Like I could finally understand dog, to understand the kind of the genetic heritage we share. Like dogs and humans, we share a co-evolution. You know, we made them what they are and they help make us what we are. In that sense, I think cannabis is like the dog of plants too. We made it what it is. We evolved it to our purposes, and then it evolved us as well. So anyway, that's how the dog date went. Still going for the next couple hours. Thanks for asking. Anyway, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll take a look. More legalization happening in what? Arkansas? No, that's right, Arkansas, when we come back.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development, and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestle trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belville Show. Keith Strop, the founder of Normal, is here.
The single most important victory will be California.
We've got Steve D'Angelo.
Well, the state of cannabis affairs in California is in flux.
The guru of ganja, Ed Rosenthal.
It's better for people to be using concentrates.
Weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com. New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And we continue to track the progress of marijuana legalization nationwide. And I'm really excited about Arkansas. Interesting situation. The Attorney General has approved the Arkansas Cannabis Amendment for petition gathering. So it is both medical and recreational. And it would allow doctors to prescribe medical marijuana, and they mean recommend. How long is it going to take? I guess longer than 20 years. It's going to take, it's been 20 years now that there's been medical marijuana in America. And the media still writes the word prescription for medical marijuana. It's like, here's a note, media. Nobody can prescribe medical marijuana because it's a Schedule I substance. Schedule I substances cannot be prescribed. All of the states that have legalized medical marijuana have done so through doctors' recommendations. Okay, the word is recommendation or recommend, not prescribe or prescription. Recommend. I don't know why that grates on me so much, but it's such a simple thing. But you know what? It's not a simple thing. It's an important thing because it highlights the absurdity of what we're talking about here. That we're so terrified of marijuana as a therapeutic agent that doctors can't prescribe it. They can only suggest it. They can recommend it. I don't know. It might be a good idea. And by forcing, if these stories constantly use the word recommend, maybe it would cause people to wonder what they're, why they're using that word, and to know a little more about why they have to use that word. It's also important in the history of medical marijuana to understand that even recommend was something we had to fight for. This was at the very beginning of medical marijuana, when the Clinton administration, Bill Clinton, and specifically his chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, yeah, stellar Democrats them. Anyway, Rahm Emanuel was coming down hard on doctors in California, and the idea was to get the Justice Department to threaten to take away their prescription rights for even recommending medical marijuana, for even just talking about it. They wanted to gag doctors. The Clinton administration wanted to have a full-on gag order on doctors in California from even talking about cannabis. It wanted to, and this had to go to the Supreme Court. Now, we won in the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, look, that's, you know, recommendations. That's free speech, man. That's, you're regulating the content of someone's speech. And that's a very strict judicial review that those kind of cases get. You can't restrict the content of someone's speech. And that's why it has to be recommendation. And I think that's an important part of medical marijuana that the public should understand, is that even the free speech idea of talking about cannabis was something we had to fight for. Anyway, this Arkansas cannabis amendment would allow doctors to prescribe, recommend, medical marijuana, which U.S. congressional candidate Steve Isaacson argues would benefit people with chronic pain, cancer, and even post-traumatic stress. And of course, the opponent, State Representative Charlie Collins, said, we already have a pharmacy system that's been working just fine for every other drug, and an FDA approval system that is working just fine for every other drug. Oh, really, Charlie? Just fine. Have you ever heard of a drug recall? You know those happen from time to time, right, Representative Collins? Drug recalls, when they find out something like Vioxx is causing heart attacks, or they find out something like thalidomide is causing babies to be born with severe deformities. You know, there's been thousands of drugs that have been recalled, right? At least hundreds that have been recalled, right? That every single drug that was recalled by the FDA is a drug that the FDA said was perfectly safe for human consumption. The fact that drug recalls exist tell us this FDA approval system isn't all it's cracked up to be. And it's such a disingenuous response from our opponents.
Well, we've got a pharmacy system and an FDA.
Right, and it's Schedule 1, so the pharmacy system and the FDA can't touch it. Next, self-fulfilling logic. And that's the genius of the Controlled Substances Act and the international treaties that support it, is they're built in such a way that the standard of review for what they say is based on what they say. Like, if the DEA says there's no medical use, accepted medical use for marijuana in the United States, it doesn't matter that 24 states have an accepted medical use for marijuana. That's not the guide by whether or not the DEA followed its own rules is not whether those rules comport with reality. It's whether or not the DEA's rules comport with the DEA's rules. It's really as insane as that. The DEA only has to prove that it wasn't arbitrary and capricious when it comes up with these guidelines. And what defines whether or not they were arbitrary and capricious is whether or not they followed their own rules. And what their own rules say is they can decide whether or not something has medical value. So when you point out that 24 other states say that there's medical value, that doesn't enter into it. The only attack you've got is, did the DEA follow their own rules? And well, yeah, they did. They wrote their own rules to be able to follow them. That's how insane the prohibition of marijuana is. And that's why those little words to me matter. Things like recommendation versus prescription matter to me. So this is not only a medical bill, though, in Arkansas. Arkansas Cannabis Amendment would also let people 21 and over use marijuana for recreational purposes. That's also a word that brings up some difficulty, doesn't it? Recreational purposes. Recreational marijuana. Recreational drug user. The word recreation and recreational implies an optional activity, a frivolity, if you will. Something that's, something that you can choose to do or choose not to do. Something that you're doing for pleasure. Something that's an enjoyable activity that you're planning to do. That's what recreational marijuana comes to. And it seems a little weird because recreational also, brings up frames of camping and the woods and, big trucks and, recreational vehicles, right? Big campers and so on. But also recreational league, recreational sports, recreational, but you don't get recreational associated with drinking. Nobody ever describes themselves as a recreational drinker. They'll say they're a social drinker. But they won't say I'm a recreational drinker. So is that, we're more social pot smokers, right? You know me, I always get back to all use is none ya. But if we have to have something to distinguish between the medical use and the non-medical use, I'm fine with saying adult use or personal use or social use. Any of those is better than recreational use. Regardless of what we call it, let's stop locking people up for it. That's what I'm all for. And that's why this Arkansas amendment is pretty good. Collins here says legalization would send the wrong message to our kids. I always love the wrong message argument. He says, the truth is, as long as the federal government does not approve of marijuana for legal use, if you are smoking marijuana, you're committing a crime against the federal law. Oh, no. But this idea that if we legalize it, we're sending the wrong message to the kids. So what is the message? Is the message that we're sending that, hey, now that this thing's legal, it's a good thing? Because tobacco and alcohol are legal. So if making marijuana legal sends the wrong message to the kids, then keeping alcohol and tobacco legal has to send a much bigger message, don't you think? Especially when alcohol has commercials on the Super Bowl, some of the cutest, best commercials. What kind of message is that sending to the kids? The message we're currently sending to the kids is that we've got to punish people and put them in cages for using something safer than alcohol, a natural plant. That's the message the kids get, that there's a hypocrisy to our laws, that there are laws that are not meant to be trusted, that there are laws that are enacted for irrational and self-serving means. That's the message that gets sent to the kids through prohibition right now. Now, of course, the call for marijuana legalization in Arkansas gets a lot of play with the tax revenue. They say just last year, the state of Colorado made $85 million in tax revenue. Well, it's great that marijuana legalization is going to make money. I'm all for that. I just get wary of continuing to sell it on that basis. It doesn't matter whether it makes money or it costs money. We shouldn't be locking people up for the use of marijuana. That's simple. Now, Arkansas, the cannabis amendment needs 85,000 signatures to be on the November ballot. It currently has over 20,000 signatures. And I'm not sure when the deadline is for Arkansas to get this on the ballot. I imagine sometime this summer. So there'll definitely be some work to do here. And I haven't heard of any major financial support or organizational support on the national level for what's going on in Arkansas. And I think, sometimes the national reform movement stymies me a little bit, because while you may not win in Arkansas or in Idaho or in Oklahoma, the cost of actually getting on the ballot and pushing it is so low compared to a California or an Illinois or Pennsylvania or something like that. Well, 85,000 signatures in Arkansas. I think it was 66,000 in Oklahoma. I think Idaho needs 68,000, something like that. What it would cost, you could have a campaign there for $200,000 and have a decent campaign and really push the envelope on getting the message of marijuana reform anchored in some places in the Intermountain West and the South that you never would have believed.
MF-er, I want more iced tea.
Thank you, Papa Bear. Hey, folks, it's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone. I'm going to take a break for a very important union-mandated safety meeting, and when we return, Doug Fine, the Organic Cowboy, the author of Too High to Fail, will be on with our Hemp Day Hump Day update.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Voober vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Voober vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Voober way.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
And if standing for the Constitution make you a wackobird, then I am a very, very proud wackobird.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit NewEraCPAs.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the New Era. Marijuana legalization also ushers in the return of the American hemp industry. Get the latest news from the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail, Doug Fine, in our Hemp Day Hump Day update.
All right, welcome back to our delayed Hemp Day Hump Day update. We've got our favorite hempster on the line, Doug Fine. How you doing, Doug?
Hey, doing great. Hailstorm in New Mexico. How you doing, Doug?
Fantastic. You were in a bad reception area an hour ago. You've been on the road?
That's right. We still are on the road, in fact, and the weather's still menacing, but we got reception here, so we pulled over because you don't want to miss Hemp Day Hump Day. That's where you get data on what's happening in the world of hemp.
Well, you know, the last we caught up with you, we were at the United Nations. We were hanging out with Peruvians and Moroccans and all sorts of people from all over. Give people your impression of what went down at the UN.
Keeping aside anything to do with anything official inside the building, I'm just not even talking about this official session of this organization called by the, presidents of three countries. I'm talking about the fact that largely on their own dime, people from all over the world came to express their opinion that, hey, world, get with it. It's over. The drug war thing, everybody knows it was the wrong decision. And so, you know, in the continuing effort for there to be legitimacy in any kind of, like, international body, especially as represented by the United Nations, it's like, you better stop playing around with these silly conventions. And the fantastic part about it for me was, as you mentioned, the coming together of people who are on the sustainable cultivation end. That's really what matters most to me. And as you said, it was farmers from Morocco, Bolivia, Europe, all over, North America, South America.
Jamaica.
People just that really weren't in Africa too. They really weren't interested at all in the drug war, and it wasn't all the same plant they were talking about either. But they were saying, "Let us grow what we want. The rest of the world should stay out of it."
Yeah, I share your disdain for the actual session itself. I mean, anything that starts with an outcome seems a little weird to me. But the demonstrations outside the UN, some of the side events that were going on, I think were very meaningful. I really enjoyed the Peruvians that were demonstrating for coca.
Yeah, that was a really intense thing. So the backstory on that is kind of cool.
Joop Ullmann, who was a he was the European drug peace leader. He was, you know, you don't want to use names, drop names too much, you know, for obvious reasons. But because he passed away suddenly a couple of weeks before the special session, you know, there are many, more than a few people have said he was sort of in a way the Martin Luther King of drug peace in Europe, and he was leading people through the wilderness for decades when I first came home. Partly thanks to his social club sponsorship to the talk after Two Out of Fail came out, no one in Europe had any sense that prohibition ever would end, that there was any change in the air. And now the whole world knows. And so he was part of it. And he had organized these Bolivians, his wife is Bolivian, and to come up and talk about the coca leaf, which was like, you know, boundary pushing for me. Because I, you know, I stick to cannabis because I know it's good, you know. But these people call it like their health maintenance program. They say people live past 100 years old. So these two shamans came, and gosh, people came together and got burn permits, and they did this because there's a candle lighting in their ceremony, and they did this like ceremony on the steps of the United Nations, and it was a fantastic thing to be part of.
Yeah, it was great to see that and so many of the others. All right, let's get some updates on what's happening in industrial hemp here in the United States. I understand there's at least one new state that has passed a hemp law.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's a cavalcade, I think, since we last met. I don't know that Hawaii had, you know, its houses, both houses in Hawaii had unanimously passed it. And that's a recent development that I'm really excited about because I'm out heading toward Maui, part of the Maui Hemp Institute out there, trying to make the islands a center of regenerative hemp. The island itself has already banned GMO crops. Their last sugar plantation just decommissioned, and it's hemp time on Maui, so I'm extremely excited about that one.
Mm, excellent. And didn't Alabama come around as well?
Oh, it's so fantastic seeing the southern states. Yeah, thanks for mentioning that as well. It's a total cavalcade. I'm also proud to say I'm part of a farmers co-op in Vermont, and I'm going to be there in a couple of days for the planting there. Seeds are in place. Universities working with our group, other universities working with another group. It's happening in Vermont. One interesting thing, Russ, that I don't know that we've ever discussed here on Hemp Day Home Day thus far is that the states that initially seemed like they weren't doing enough, and I would say that includes Vermont, probably Oregon as well, are many ways leaping out into the lead. Colorado to a degree as well, although their state is now really starting to regulate officially with Colorado State University. Their ag department is regulating hemp seeds and certifying them, which is fantastic for domestic cultivars to have the state help. But states like Vermont and Oregon at first were just asking for some money, almost no money, $25 from Vermont, and that's it. They didn't want to help you get seeds, but they didn't want to hear anything else about it. They're like, go have fun, grow hemp. And that is fantastic because the domestic seed is returning faster than even I or anybody would have thought possible. I was just thinking about how when I wrote Hempbound, I forced myself to mention the fact that there is this feral option, this wild hemp seed that survived prohibition. Maybe Darwin's the best cultivar. And the reason I mentioned it only hesitatingly is because the experts said, oh, no, you must have years and years of research and development of seed in order to have a cultivar that can be used, blah, blah, blah. Guess what? The feral hemp from all over the U.S. is already making exponential growth and return in this industry. There's no stopping it now.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, that kind of leads to a complex question we got from our chat room on Oregon hemp, and it's kind of got some parts to it. So let me go through. The first part would be that the feds consider any importation of viable cannabis seeds outside of a DEA permit to be illegal, right? Feds say you can't import seeds. The second part was that Oregon's going to have over 50 licensed hemp farmers in 2016. Oregon State's going to get a DEA permit, but only for themselves. The Oregon Department of Agriculture won't get a permit so that their licensees can import seeds. So if we end up having, you know, up to 50 licensed hemp farmers trying to get seeds into the state of Oregon, is that going to arouse the DEA getting all upset about these viable seeds?
Excellent question. First and most important part of my answer is I'm not a lawyer. Before making decisions, make sure you consult with folks. And the way that the question was phrased could be answered in a lot of different ways. Last December, this is not advice, last December, federal law was signed into law by President Obama that explicitly prohibited the Justice Department from using funds to interfere with certified state hemp program members, and the clause specifically says including interstate commerce. Uh-huh. And that was important because in some of the previous phases since our partial research legalization, there have been some claims from some aspects of federal law enforcement. But to be honest, the war with hemp, I think, on the federal level is over. That when people do go through what are still some of the hoops, it's not impossible to get the EA permits. But that said, here we get to advice, that if I am understanding that December law correctly, I suggest people source from domestic sources. It's available. It's expensive, but not when you do the math about what it's worth. And it won't be expensive just at the seed level for that many more years.
Well, and you were just discussing these feral seeds and all that are being produced. And so shouldn't that help to reduce this cost?
Yeah, and it already is. I mean, for people who have been in hemp for a long time, the idea of paying $30 or more per pound of seeds is anathema to them, but that's, you know, what a free market is. And so that's how economics works. And so it's come down for some absolute downright exorbitant, I think, immoral pricing of a year ago to now just expensive, but suck it in and make an investment and start your business or start your co-op, help your community. You know, it's fine. It's not priced in a way that makes it impossible to participate. But, you know, I want to see the seed prices come down too.
So what are we looking for this coming harvest season? How many states do you think actually have hemp harvest this year?
I don't know exactly the number of states, but I will tell you I'm seeing the same growth in almost every state. I just was part of a NPR story about the Vermont projects going on, and the conclusion of John Kalish in his excellent piece was that Vermont, like every place else, is growing magnitudes by tenfold. Kentucky acreage tenfold, Colorado acreage tenfold, and I think that's true of Oregon as well, but at least tenfold. So I don't think that certain states are necessarily ahead of others, because for one thing, you could grow a couple of acres for flower and extract enough of cannabinoids to market, you know, a 6 or 7 figure enterprise, depending on what your finished product is. So it's not necessarily about acres cultivated. You know, personally for me, both as a farmer, co-op member, but also as products that I want to use that derive from hemp cannabis, for me it's always about my normal sort of farmer's market, local or regional values to start, how the earth is treated, how everybody along the way is treated, including respect for, you know, the final person to enjoy the product. So that's what I'm looking for, but, you know, it's coming at us hot and heavy from all levels. There are, in Colorado, I did an interview for my hemp-based television show, Growing Season, in Colorado with their state administrator for the hemp program, the Department of Agriculture, Dwayne Sinning, doing a fantastic job, really, out to help farmers. And he said that they can barely keep up. It's coming in so fast. They wouldn't be surprised if there were 20,000 acres cultivated in Colorado this year. And, you know, it's just astounding how fast it's growing.
Do you think that, you know, a lot of people, and as I went around Texas and Florida, especially these non-marijuana states, a lot of these purveyors of hemp CBD products are out there. Is that having an impact on how much hemp gets planted in these states?
At this point, I don't think that there are enough metrics for anybody to be making an educated guess. You know, whenever there's a gold rush, the people who profit most from the gold rush, if we are talking about profit, it's what, you know, people's motivations are the people that sell the bulk bags of coffee and the pickaxes and stuff. Very, very few miners strike it rich. And so you could say that the cannabinoid aspect of the plant, or just the plant in general, is a gold rush now to a degree. I mean, I know personally, when I'm offering to consult or whatever, I'm approached by all types of mindsets. And I try to focus on the ones that match my values. But as far as intelligently prophesying metrics, I don't know. I sure wouldn't put all my eggs in the basket of just quantity-based CBD production for wholesale, because nobody knows how long that market's going to last. I suspect we're just at the tip of the iceberg, but it could crash. So, you know, for me, it's the products that I'm interested in are diverse and out. It's like me as a person. They're out of the norm. It's not what everybody else is doing, making, or interested in necessarily.
Well, Doug, thanks for giving us some of your time today and another Hemp Day Hump Day update. And give people the websites and contact info if they want to learn more.
Thank you, Todd. DougFine.com. And look there for the latest dispatch about HempSea.com and the Artisan Hemp Crafted website.
All right. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Doug, and good luck on your road trip.
Thanks, Russ. Bye.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I say, on this program, what do they want? My grandchildren and the monster. Oh, did I scare you?
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belville Show.
We're here with Sir Richard Branson.
Far more damage has been done to people by the current approach.
Jim McMahon.
You know, a lot of the coaches are old school. You know, he used to just yell at us, go, oh, you bunch of pot smokers.
John Popper on the telephone.
You know, I think in the 60s, there was that kind of, the bigotry wasn't so concrete.
It's the Russ Belville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 38 after the hour. Nice hearing from our folks in the chat room. John Chambers out there, Bud Green, Mike Hughes, Jackie Newberry. Nice to see y'all here today. Aggie Cajun, if you're still out there, thanks for tuning in. John Thomas, almost always here. Can't help but see John Thomas's name and think of Monty Python's Meaning of Life. Because I'm Protestant, I can put a little rubber thingy on the end of my John Thomas. Oh, my goodness. So tomorrow, I will be in flight to Washington, D.C., and if everything works out well, I should be able to pull off doing a show tomorrow. We'll see. We'll be cutting it close, but I think we will have a live show tomorrow coming to you from Keith Stropp's house, the founder of Normal. So interesting choice of locations, huh? And then Friday, I will be at the Normal National offices and doing some interviews with the people there on their regular workday routines and what they're up to as far as National Normal goes. So check that out on our Friday show, which also will involve a very special extended interview segment with Lauren Vasquez and Mickey Norris, who are representing the Adult Use of Marijuana Act in California. And they will be on telling us the latest about the campaign, debunking some of the fear-mongering about the Adult Use of Marijuana Act and convincing everyone that it's far better than prohibition. Shouldn't be that hard to do. So I wanted to make some note of Oregon's cannabis industry. We had a couple of votes that went down in the primary yesterday, Grant County and Klamath County. that both rejected marijuana businesses. Now, this is a long and drawn out thing with Oregon. So what happened was, when we passed legalization in 2014, we said that the cities and counties have a local option to ban cannabis businesses through a vote of the people. Okay, so what that meant was, is that businesses would be legal until they're banned. That was the way it was passed. That's the way 56% of Oregon voters decided, is that cannabis businesses would be legal until the people voted, and if they voted, they could ban them. Now, the counties that voted against Measure 91 didn't like this. And this dates back, this is an old rift in Oregon that is duplicated in a lot of other states, where the urban centers have all the people, and so they're more liberal, and they tend to make the decisions in most elections, and then these rural conservative areas don't have a lot of people in them, and so they feel like, oh, those big city liberals, they make all the rules that we don't like, kind of feeling, okay? So this was exemplified with the Measure 91 vote, where, you know, in Portland and Eugene and Medford and all the major metro areas, it passed handily. In Portland, there's some districts that were 70, 80%. But then you get out east of the Cascades, where there's more cows than people, and they voted it down, sometimes as high as 60% against or more. So they didn't like the idea that all these big city liberals passed this marijuana legalization. And they wanted the ability to ban these businesses right out of the gate, because Measure 91 made them all legal right out of the gate until they're banned by a vote of the people. And that's when we got what was called the West Idaho Compromise. At least that's what I call it. And this compromise was that if your county voted more than 55% against the initiative, then your city or county could outright ban the marijuana businesses without a vote of the people. Now, if your city or county didn't vote 55%, your county didn't vote 55% against it, then you're still subject to the statewide initiative that says you have to get a vote of the people. So, Grant and Klamath were two of these counties that had these bans. You know, first thing is like, we're going to ban them. They're not even licensed yet, by the way. We don't have licensed recreational businesses yet. They're just going to start giving out the licenses June 2nd, I think. So they're not even in existence yet, but all these, like over 100 cities and counties in Oregon have banned marijuana businesses. And so Grant County and Klamath County were two of these, and citizens there collected signatures to put a ban reversal on the ballot. So remember, Measure 91, when it passed, was these things are legal until the people vote against them. But thanks to the compromise, these things are illegal until the people vote for them. Now, in those elections, the people didn't win. They were voted against. So, you know, this would be the argument by the antis. They would say, see, our counties voted so much against legalization that even when you were asked if they could have a pop shop, we still voted against it. But that's not the point. The point is whether or not the people should have been forced to try to make them legal in the first place when there was a statewide initiative that said they should be. Do these statewide initiatives matter or do they not? Are they statewide or are they not? I'm afraid a terrible precedent has been set with Measure 91 in the legislature that says, oh, well, if your county really, really hates it, it can get a special exemption. So where's that going to go next? Some sort of logging bill, some sort of an abortion bill, some sort of tax bill, whatever it might be. Now these counties know if they just stomp their feet and hold their breath, they can get a special exemption. It's already happening in some respects in Oregon. They're going to allow self-gas pumping in the rural counties after 6 p.m. For those of you who don't know, Oregon and I think New Jersey is the only other state where you can't pump your own gas. We actually have gas attendants who come pump your gas everywhere. But not now. Now in the rural counties, after 6 p.m., they don't have to do that. And, of course, they're changing speed limits out in the rural counties. We've been set at a 65-mile speed limit here in Oregon for a long time. Now they're going to start letting these rural places go up to 70, or is it 75? I can't say I'm against that one. I'm actually kind of for that one. But anyway, the other point I like to make on this is that the whole purpose, the whole basis of the compromise is a false premise. The West Idaho Compromise was built on this idea that, well, these counties in Eastern Oregon voted so much against it, they'd never be for a pot shop. Why make them vote again? And I've always argued that the reason why is because it's a different vote. It's a different ballot. When we were voting for Measure 91, the question was, given that weed is illegal, should it be legal and should there be pot shops? The question now is, given that weed's legal, should there be pot shops? Now, I recognize Grant County and Klamath County just got asked that question and just turned it down. And that's fine, because now they finally answered the question, but it should never have been, the onus should not have been on the people to have to put that question to the people. It should have been on the government to have to put that to the people, and to have to do so after there were already some licensed pot shops in existence. See, that's the other part about this. See, Measure 91 set it up so that these guys could start to get licensed until they were banned by the people. And the opponents recognized that the flaw in that, from their perspective, was if these places got established, people might recognize they're no big deal and then not want to vote against them. So long as they aren't established, so long as they don't exist, there's still something mystical and unknown about them that we can gin up some fear about. That, I believe, is another reason why they push so hard to be able to ban on their own. It's just a different question now, because banning a pot shop when pot's still illegal is different than banning a pot shop when pot's legal. In Grant County or Harney County, when pot was completely illegal, anyone who was growing it or possessing it could get busted outside the medical system. Now that pot's legal, any adult in Harney County or Crook County, or what was the other county? Whatever county it was, Grant County, that's it. In Grant County or Harney County, any adult can cultivate four plants now. Any adult can possess an ounce on his person and 8 ounces at home now. So now it's even easier to be a black market weed dealer. So should we continue to not have competition for the black market weed dealers who have now been given the advantage of home possession and home cultivation? That's what the question is now. Now, Grant County and Harney County still rejected it. They still apparently think taking in tax revenue from pot shops is a bad idea, and then instead all the pot revenue and pot marketing and trafficking should go to people who are unlicensed and unregulated, who now have the ability to grow four plants and possess 8 ounces with no repercussions. Apparently they're cool with that setup. Okay, so be it. But they are turning their back on taxes and wages. The latest Oregon Cannabis Jobs Report, we talked to Sam Chapman about this on the road a little bit ago, but this Oregon Cannabis Jobs Report shows that Oregon's cannabis industry has created 2,156 new jobs. 2,100 new jobs. Now, I know Grant County and Harney County, being the kind of places that relied a lot on the timber industry, could probably use a few more jobs. The jobs themselves have generated $46 million in wages. How are we better going to get money pumped into the economy than creating jobs that pay people well? And you're going to turn your back on it. You're going to reject that because you think pot is icky. That's really what it comes down to. It comes down to a vote of bigotry. What do they think a cannabis business is? Well, they think it's a den of iniquity, frequented by ne'er-do-wells and scofflaws. And it couldn't be further from the truth. Every dispensary I go to, throughout all the states I go to them, it's people like me. It's older people. It's people in their 40s and 50s and 60s. The younger, like, I don't know what they're expecting it to be when they walk into a pot shop. You know, I've certainly been in alcohol bars that were much sketchier than any pot shop I've ever been in. It's usually a pretty serene and standard retail transaction. There's jars of weed. You sniff a couple of them. You say you want a few grams of this. They weigh it up. They put it in a childproof container. They check your ID. You pay for it. You're done. The buildings themselves have frosted glass windows. They got a guy at the door checking your ID and the guy at the cash register checking your ID. I just don't know what it is these conservative counties are afraid of or that they're not understanding. For so long, I guess, cannabis has been associated with criminals and violence and negative stereotypes of laziness and stoners and whatever else. That really can be the only reason to understand these votes. You've got a legal industry now here in the state of Oregon. People can legally possess and grow this stuff. Why you would turn your back on tax revenue and new jobs and rebuilding your economies? Well, you will eventually. Deschutes County has decided to come to the light side, the weed side. The rest of you will come around as more of that money keeps flowing in. We get things set up for Stoner Jesus when we come back. Stay tuned.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestea trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We need to build a wall.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
That's right, and if you're listening to us live on CannabisRadio.com, stay on the line, because coming up next at the top of the hour, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we got the Stoner Jesus Show, the greatest podcast ever, because, I mean, Jesus made it, right? Because how could it not be the best? So stay tuned with Stoner Jesus and his sidekick, St. Peter, as they discuss the news and politics of the day in a decidedly irreligious and sacrilegious way. I don't know how it's best to, let's just say that, not safe for work. Let's just say it that way, but, definitely safe for, fun and frivolity. It's one of the most hilarious shows you can listen to. And it's right here on CannabisRadio.com. Stoner Jesus coming up at the top of the hour. Also, as we wind things up here at Rolla J, I just want to say, I told you so. And that I told you so goes out to the people in Ohio, specifically the ones who were all up in my grill because I was in support of issue 3. I was in support of issue 3, and especially a lot of people in the in even the marijuana movement, good friends of mine, as a matter of fact, disagreed with me on issue 3. And I explained my reasoning. I said, you know what? Issue 3 is the best legalization plan Ohio is ever going to get. It's a better legalization plan than most states are going to get a chance to get. You never, never reject a chance to pass a wide open marijuana legalization. I don't care who gets rich off it. Now, after California passes, after the feds change scheduling, maybe 10, 20 years from now, that makes a bigger difference to me. But right now, winning means everything to me. Ending this prohibition and stopping the arrest of people. And I told folks in Ohio, I said, look, you vote down this Ohio thing, and I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. Your legislature is going to see the writing on the wall and realize that if they don't pass something, that y'all will get your act together and pass some sort of medical marijuana law. And so what they'll do is they'll propose a medical marijuana law in the legislature, and they'll ratchet it down so it's a nice, tight, no cannabis plants, no smoking type of medical marijuana law. And they'll try to get that through as fast as they can in the 2016 session to try to undercut support for a medical marijuana initiative. It'll be just like Governor Schwarzenegger in 2010 pulling the October surprise of passing a decriminalization law to undercut the support in Prop 19. It's exactly the playbook Ohio will go by. They'll pass a limited medical marijuana law. Everybody will say, aha, Ohio is the 25th medical marijuana state. And the medical marijuana issue will be over for most of the people that don't pay much attention to this. And then MPP, trying to come along with its medical marijuana initiative in Ohio, has to fight against the perception that, wait a minute, didn't we already pass medical marijuana? And the opposition being able to say, look, Ohio's got a medical marijuana law. These guys are just trying to get legalization through the back door. And guess what? I told you so. That's all the time we got for today. Stay tuned as we get the signal switched over to Stoner Jesus coming up live at the top of the hour. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful Legal Potland, Oregon, including Roscoe P. Coltrane, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.